Welcome to the Idea Talks, where we discuss big ideas. The Idea Talks is a weekly podcast with Josh Tice and other leaders on big ideas for life, leadership, and ministry. And I'm your co-host, Drew Polvencia. For more information on this podcast, visit ideanetwork.church. Welcome to this edition of the Idea Talks. This is episode 208, and it is in September. It's fall weather is approaching us.
Yeah, I've got my my pumpkin spice latte. Oh
boy. Of course you do.
And my orange puffy sweater.
Yeah.
And I feel really good.
Yeah.
Because of all the exciting things that are coming up.
I know, it's not just fall that's approaching. What else is approaching?
Well, I mean, Idea Night.
It's a big deal.
Well, we're only 2 weeks away, and every single location is anticipating getting all of their tables in order, their chairs set out. We're only 2 weeks away, and pastors are gathering to figure out which Idea Night they're going to attend. And I want to encourage you, we want to encourage you to go out and find which Idea Night is closest to you. There are nearly 50 locations all around the nation that you'll be able to jump in on. And if you're listening to this, and we know that there's some of you that are listening but have never been to an Idea Night, this is your chance. And it's not just your chance to attend. It's your opportunity to reach out and befriend a struggling ministry leader. You've heard us say it on the podcast before, but we really want you to think through that. Who is it in your community? What pastor in your community can you think of? Have you spent a few moments on your knees before God saying, who in my community, what pastor might I reach out to and say, hey, let's spend the evening together. Let's grab some dinner and go to Idea Night.
Josh and I stay really on track of the numbers of this podcast. And if we had all of you show up that listen to this podcast and event, we would just blow the doors off.
Yeah.
So I love Robbie Green's story. And he talks about early on in his ministry, he was a pastor without a tribe until he came to an Idea Network event. And this might be that one for you. And you say, hey, I'm maybe a little bit lonely. Maybe I don't know where I fit in this world of ministry. I would try to encourage you to go to an Idea Night and find your tribe. Because more than likely there are people that are just the same kind of mindset of you that are just on the path, just like you are.
And you might even be hearing that and thinking to yourself, well, I don't even want a tribe. I'm my own guy out here. Got it. No problem. We're not your tribe. How about some friends? Just come and be a friend. Sit at a table with other pastors, and you can share what's going on in your life and ministry, grab a few ideas, and befriend a few other ministry leaders. Because here's the fact. Pastor, listen, you may not need them, but they may need you. And we would love for you to come to an Idea Night in your location. Hey, you're not going to be there with 150 people. It's going to be 10 to 12 to 15 other pastors, other ministry leaders. And yeah, you should go, but maybe bring a friend as well and encourage yourself through the Idea Night. This is one of the best ideas that we've had. We want you to be a part of it. Idea Night 2023. But today, we're talking about leadership. And every single one of you that's listening to this desire to be a better leader. There are few leaders that I know and respect more than Pastor Jeremy Rands. He does serve as one of the vice presidents of the Idea Network, has been a friend of mine for years, and we have the opportunity of hearing from him today. You know Jeremy very well, but for those who don't know Jeremy that may be listening to this or don't know him as well as I do, Jeremy Rands, welcome to the program. Can you tell our audience a little bit more about you? And for those who do know you, maybe something new that they did not know previous. Jeremy Rands, welcome to the podcast.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you for having me on. I pastor a church in Toledo, Ohio, and five kids, and God has blessed our family immensely with a couple adult children that are serving the Lord within our ministry as well. And that is a proud highlight that I have that I love to share, that they have an opportunity to go wherever they want to go, but they choose to serve the Lord with us as their parents in our church. And so that's an interesting fact that not everyone knows, but I just thought I'd share that with you.
I love it. Well, we want to jump right in. We've got a great conversation ahead. We don't want to waste any time in it because, as I said, Jeremy is an incredible leader. I've watched him from a distance, then became a friend, now have worked with him. And I'm at the point with the Idea Network that just as I have seen a great team develop here as a pastor in Las Vegas, and I do not want to move forward without gaining the counsel of certain voices, Same thing has happened with the ID Network. I just don't want to move forward with major initiatives without first getting the counsel of the wisdom of Jeremy Rands. And I've noticed, I've seen his leadership up close and personal. And so when we can talk about leadership, we want to bring the right voice to you. And that voice today is Jeremy Rands. I know that the leadership conversation is broad. And I know it's been well trod. Lots of books, lots of podcasts, and lots of sermons on leadership. But today I just want you to bring a few thoughts that could help your network, the network that you lead, among ministry leaders that you care about. Jeremy, what would you say these five ideas to elevate your leadership might be?
Yeah, I give these five often to guys in leadership, whether they are just starting out in leadership or they have been leading for a long period of time. Oftentimes, the longer we lead, some of the things that we need to do is go back to what we did when we first started, and we have forgotten certain things. Instead of learning new things, be reminded of the things that got us to where we're at. But I want to give you five L's in leadership. Number one would be listen, learn to listen. Number two is learn. Number three is love. Number four is lead. And number five is live. And so those are the five things I'd like to talk about today here on this podcast.
All right. Well, you begin with this concept of listen. So that's exactly what we're going to do. Go for it. What do you mean by listen?
Well, a lot of leaders come to a place where they think they have to have all the ideas and that everyone wants to hear them speak. But a good leader learns to listen and hear people. I heard a great leader, an author one time said this, seek to understand before you seek to be understood. Seek to understand before you seek to be understood. And that has always stuck with me. A lot of times I'll get in a room with leaders and they do all the talking and they don't listen long enough to really hear what the questions are. And oftentimes we, if we would just stop long enough, listen to what people have to say, we would better answer their questions. And so I have always learned this: before you start talking, just be quiet for a little while. Listen to what people have to say. Truly listen to the questions that they have. And if you would listen to the questions they have, you will give a much better answer, not to what you think they want to know, but truly what they need to know.
I think I'm astounded in life sometimes when I have some of these conversations with people that you start off just with a simple open-ended question and it leads to an hour and a half dialogue from them. And I think about, it's not a Jedi mind trick, right? It's just get out of the way and let people tell their story. And especially as a pastor, ministry leader, they're often coming to you anyway for hope or for advice or for counsel. So listen, it's a really good one.
Second one would be learn. Good leaders, to elevate your leadership, you've got to be willing to learn. And you can do that many ways. Leaders are readers, and never get to the place where you stop learning. Read new things. Be reminded of what you read in the past. Pick up a book that helped you years ago and reread it. Study. Don't fake it. If there's a pastor listening now, the longer we pastor, the longer we preach, the easier it is to do in our flesh, because you know. You've been there, you've done it, you can pull something out, but you're not going to feed your people that way. Mm-hmm. You're not going to keep people growing if you're just recycling things. So study, learn, continue to have a heart to learn. And then extra schooling. I think we're living in a day where it's so accessible to us. We can do it online. We don't have to quit our jobs and move to a different state to get more schooling. I would challenge everyone in leadership to elevate your leadership. Just take some classes, even audit some classes if possible. Take an Old Testament survey class again, a New Testament survey from a different person than maybe you took 20 years ago when you were in seminary. Get a different approach to it, a different aspect of it, but be willing to learn. And find leaders that are leading past where you are and learn from them. Read from them, listen to them, and I would encourage you to do this. Pick up a phone and call them and ask them for 20, 30 minutes of their time just to instruct you, and go back to number one and just listen to what they have to say. I believe this: the more you listen, the more you can learn.
Man, those two go perfectly together. You know, it's surprised me over the years how many people are open to a conversation. If you're able to message them properly and then be very clear on what you're asking, I would like 20 minutes of your time to ask you a few questions and then be prepared for the conversation by having a few questions written out and taking that time and then getting off in a proper setting. I've been shocked, or the proper amount of time, I've been shocked how many incredible conversations I've been able to have to learn and to listen. These are great leadership principles to begin with.
Yeah, I have a list. I don't know about you, but like there's certain people, especially for me as a business leader, that like I would one day love to get their ear on. Whether it's I'm paying them for something, a conference that they put on, or to your point, like if I happen to be in their city, or if I can, if they have a moment of time, I would drive 8 hours literally to get to them just to have a half hour conversation over coffee. And I think about as a ministry leader, maybe that's a leader that's beyond your capacity, right? And maybe they lead a larger church than you. Or maybe it's a person that is further down the road, just in their years or in wisdom from you. Either way, I think to Jeremy's point, trying to learn and make yourself available to learn is the important part here, because I think you can learn from a lot of different ways in life if we just make ourselves open to it.
Love it. So we have number one, listen more than you're speaking. Number two, learn. You're not just done because you're out of school. Pursue further education, study for your sermons, be a reader and read broadly. But you bring up that third L, the L word of love. What do you mean by that?
Love what you do and love the people you're doing it with. If you're going to elevate your leadership, you must enjoy doing what you're doing. You can't do it because I have to do it or I'm forced to do it. People see through that. If you love what you're doing and you love the people you're doing it with, you will have people following you. You will have people that want to go where you're willing to lead. And followers want to be around people that love them. I think about Christ. I believe his apostles stayed with him and wanted to follow him because he loved them and he showed the love to them. He had to rebuke them at times. He was hard on them at times, but there was a genuine love that he had toward his people. The apostle Paul loved Timothy, loved Titus. You could see it as he's writing, as he calls them brethren, and as he is so endeared to them, he loved them. The apostle Paul went through great, great suffering, but he loved what he was doing. And I think because of that, he was able to take people on his journey that God had him leading. And so I would say, love what you're doing. I talked to a lot of pastors and they've said this to me, if there was something else that I could do, I would be doing it. And I say to them, that's part of the problem. People see through that. If you don't love what you're doing, no one's going to follow you and allow you to lead them to something that you don't love. So fall in love with your calling. Fall in love with people. People are people everywhere. Don't look for the grass is greener on the other side thinking, well, the people are going to be better. Anywhere you're going to minister to people, people are the same. So just learn to love people. And you'll watch your leadership grow.
Let's talk about how you fall out of love with the things that you're doing, the ministry that you're in, and how do you practically fall back into love with that? I mean, what does that look like? If our friend in Florida or our friend up in Maine is listening to this, or maybe our missionary pal out in the middle of Czechoslovakia, right, which no longer exists, but maybe in the Czech Republic, and he's thinking, I want to love what I do. Of course I want to love what I do. But man, I've fallen out of love. How do I get back in love with the things that I'm doing, that I'm called to do?
I think we fall out of love because of frustrations, because of disappointments, because of unmet expectations. We get hurt. And if you're going to be in ministry and you're going to be a leader, you are going to be hurt. Study the life of David and you're going to find much hurt. How to fall back in love, I would say, would be a great way to do that is spend time with people. Oftentimes, we remove ourselves from spending time with people. We only do it when we have to. And when we first got into ministry or started that new work that we're involved in, we gave it our all. We were willing to give it time. We were willing to give it effort. We were willing to give it our talent. And now we just go to the place when we have to. We get in, we get out, and we hope that people don't bother us. I would say get with people that you can spend time with again. Every time I do this, when I get days of frustration and days of difficulty, I on purpose make several appointments with people that give me joy, people that give me, that just recharge me. Maybe to fall back in love, spend time with people that you can just overflow with them and they will charge you back up. Oftentimes when we get fall out of love, it's because, again, like I said, frustration and people frustrate us. And that's the one we spend all of our time with. Unfortunately, in ministry, the squeaky wheel gets all of our attention, right? And we finally get tired of all the squeaking. Well, put that away for a minute and go to the people that you've not given a whole lot of attention to, and do something with them to cause that joy again. Find the people that build you up, find the people that charge you up, and devote time with them. And I think you'd watch yourself fall in love again with people.
I think that's a beautiful point. Return to the first things. And obviously, we're thinking about our love for Jesus Christ as Jesus spoke to the Ephesians in the book of Revelation. But when you do get back to the first things of your ministry, understanding who these people are, there is nothing greater than sitting over a cup of coffee with a lost soul who comes to know Jesus Christ as Savior. There's nothing more beautiful than walking through a discipleship curriculum. Pick which one you want. And watching somebody's eyes illuminate when they understand some theology for the very first time. There's nothing greater than sitting with 10 members of the church as they're giving a praise report on what God has been doing in their life. And you're right. Eventually, we fall out of love with what we're doing because we're not spending the time maybe necessary with the individuals. And I got to tell you, Jeremy, I've been guilty of that. I've been guilty of that when it comes to all forms of ministry in my life, that I just get burdened down, unmet expectations, frustrated with results. And man, unfortunately, I have to admit, I've lived there at times, probably for more than a few weeks, maybe for more than a few months. But you're right, it's spending time doing the things that put me with the people that really do draw my heart back to love.
And then number four, lead. And I know that goes with the title of this, how do we elevate our leadership? And I say lead. You know what that means? Make a decision. Make a decision, even the hard decisions. We all get to a place where hard decisions are very, very difficult to make. And I would encourage you, if you want to elevate your leadership, you've got to get those out of the way. For someone watching or listening to this right now, you're probably thinking of a pile of decisions that you've put off. And it's hurting you. It's stopping your leadership. It's frustrating people around you. They're expecting you to make a decision. And I would encourage you, start one by one, leading, make a decision. Take care of those difficult decisions. Take care of the hardest decision you can, and then move on to the next one. But people expect you to lead. They don't expect you to know everything, but they do expect you to make a decision. And I think you make the best decisions when you listen, when you learn, when you love, when you're healthy and you're loving the people. Now you're able to make a good decision, but leaders make decisions. Don't coast. If you're going to elevate your leadership, you have to be a decision maker.
I was recently at a conference, Jeremy, I think I want to lean into this a little bit, and they talked about a lot about culture in leadership. And they talked about you can either have culture by design or you can have culture by default. And to your point, leaders make decisions. And when we don't, we start coasting and the culture becomes what it is in our organization by whatever the default standard is, as opposed to us or God leading through us, will design the organization to be a part of what he wants it to be. And I think about sometimes we stray away from making decisions for lack of criticism or analysis paralysis, whatever. There's a lot of the different things that we choose to not lead. But to your point, like it's part of the obligation. That's the assignment that you chose, right? And then God appointed you to. So try to do that as much as possible to your fullest.
I love it. So we have listen, learn, love, lead. And then lastly, you give us the cryptic live.
Yeah, live again. Somebody listening to this, You're tired. You're frustrated. You're lonely. You're discouraged. Live. Go do something. Do something huge. Do something big for God. Don't get caught in a tunnel, in a cave, where you think that this is it. It's hopeless. Go live. Go do something daring. Go take your family on a trip. Go present something to your church that's going to challenge their faith. Do great things for God. Live. Don't just coast. Don't just survive. Leaders that want to elevate their leadership, they live. They enjoy it. They laugh. They take big steps of faith. They do the impossible, not because of themselves, but they believe in a big God, a God of the impossible, and they're living their lives that way. I love reading church history. I love reading about revivals. I love reading about the churches that they're flagship type churches. And it's because they had a leader that lived, that wasn't afraid. They weren't afraid to take a step. They weren't afraid to go out into the unknown. They weren't afraid to face criticism. They weren't afraid to have pushback. They woke up every day ready to live and to let God do great things through them. And I want to challenge each one listening to this podcast. If you want to elevate your leadership, you've got to learn to live and make life the best it can be. You're only appointed a certain amount of time on this earth. Do big things for God.
Yeah, leaders have a bias toward action. And of all five of these, I want to resonate with all five. I really resonate with the final. I've always felt it's so much better to get up in the batter's box and go down swinging. I would love to try something big and fail. And here's what I heard years ago, this quote, when you get punched in the face, you're scared to death of getting punched in the face until it happens. And then you realize it's not so bad. It's really not that bad. Failure hurts, but it's not as bad as you might think. Failure is actually an incredible experience, and to get out there and try something. And you said try something big. I love all the categories. Try something big with your family. Go take a trip beyond what you thought you could do or what you should do, and go and try something big at the church. Sit down and think, what is the craziest big next step we could take as a church? And sit with your leaders and challenge them and push them, and expect that some of your deacons or elders or board might push back a little bit. Hear from them, listen to them, but do lead them and live in a place of, if this doesn't happen, or if this happens, we know it's only going to be a miracle from God that this happened. And it's amazing, those moments. Yes, you'll experience failure, but in our experience, Jeremy's experience, Drew and I's experience here in Las Vegas, and our experience with Idea Network, some of the most incredibly stressful times have also been some of the most exciting times, because we're sitting back and saying, wow, we just took a huge leap. How is this going to turn out? And it's amazing to watch God come through and accomplish incredible things. So I love this idea. Do something big for God.
I was talking to a friend recently, and he was talking about how his dad taught him how to play baseball growing up. And he said, my dad always told me to swing as hard as you can in case you hit it. And he goes, I missed a lot of balls, but occasionally I'd make contact. And when I made contact, I'd knock it out of the park. And I think that's what we're talking about. It's like, don't be timid, be brave. Yeah. And be courageous and try to see, have something big. Because after all, like, this is the life that God's given us. Let's try to attempt something big.
I tell our church often, I want to be out so far out in the ocean on faith, doing something big for God. If God lets go, God lets go of me, I drown. That's how I want to live. If God lets go, I'm done. Not, well, if he lets go, I get my ankles wet, or I'm up to my knees and I can get out. I want to get so deep into this thing that when God says, I'm done, I'm done.
If you're thinking to yourself, man, I need more encouragement as it relates to stepping out by faith, by listening, learning, loving, leading, living, and I need some more encouragement, not just from the podcast, but maybe some live encouragement, can I encourage you toward the Idea Network membership? Every single Tuesday, our members meet for a virtual roundtable where it's a live conversation with a great ministry leader as well as other members of the network. And it's an incredible opportunity to be challenged. And I am often challenged on these Tuesdays where we have an opportunity of hearing about the stories of those who are truly learning to lead. And can I also encourage you? We can encourage you to show up 2 weeks from now at the Idea Night in your city or in your state. With over 50 locations all around the country, we have one near you. And we want you to be involved with this Idea Night. It's coming up only 2 weeks away. If you go to ideanetwork.church, you can go ahead and register for your local Idea Night. Now, before we leave this topic of five ideas to elevate your leadership, Jeremy Ranz, is there anything that you would like to leave with the audience today?
God's called you to what he has called you to, and he's going to equip you to do it. And he just needs you to surrender to him and believe that you can do it by his strength. And I want to challenge you to live these five things out through God's strength and watch him do incredible things through your life.
Thanks so much for listening to today's Idea Talks. If you would like to reach out to us, drop us an email at joshtice@ideanetwork.church. If you benefited from this podcast, we ask that you take a moment to show your support by subscribing, rating, and reviewing the podcast on iTunes. Thanks again for joining us, and we will see you right here again at the Idea Talks podcast.